Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Al Nunes is our guest, former Gopher great. Storied career in business as well. Jostens of Beyond teaches a class at Hopkins High School for young African-American males about what life is really like and what they have to look forward to as they move on in their futures. And so very apropos that we visit with him on this MLK Day, as we do each and every year. Al and I get together for this conversation, although we converse several times during the year. This is always one that I look forward to. Al, thank you for joining us.
How you doing, Maxie?
Good, man. I'm going to start. So, you know, MLK, to me, is I understand who he was, but he's this figure in black and white that I hear speaking, because it was, you know, before I was born, but it was when I was in my infancy years, and so I try to understand him as best I can from that, you know, from the images and from the newsreels that I see, and I often wonder, though, because I always think it's different to actually live through it. When you teach the kids at Hopkins High School, those young African American men that gather in your class, how do you explain MLK to them, and how do you try to make sure that it resonates with them?
Well, one of the things that I always try to explain is that one of the fundamental values of Dr. Martin Luther King's life and the movement of the followers, what he tried to do was always teach his followers how to disagree with words and not with and with nonviolence. So, you know, those two things are key. You can always disagree with words, but not with violence.
You know, part of that, which is somewhat ironic, is, and it's a little bit a function of the media, is until recently, I have to admit that I hadn't really thought about that. I'd heard about that, but maybe because I saw the George Floyd riots and I saw the difference between a peaceful protest and an unpeaceful protest. But when I think of Martin Luther King, I think about the way he died, which was violent. And then you think about, you know, some of the beatings and some of the things that happened and Rosa Parks and these things that were, you know, borderline or physical in nature. And I think what's important there and what you just said is the boring and the mundane don't get covered. The effectiveness of a peaceful protest doesn't get as much coverage as bloodshed, does it?
No, you're right. You're right. And one of the things, you know, that that probably people don't talk enough about is that in order for you to become a follower of the Martin Luther King movement, you have to attend classes and sessions and understand how the peaceful movement of Gandhi was all about, what it was all about.
So you took, I mean, did everybody take classes from her era, or how did it work?
No, I'm just saying that when you wanted to be a follower of that,
yep.
Because it was nonviolent. So it was part of the training, the classes and sessions to understand Gandhi's whole approach on nonviolence. because it took a lot. You think about it, the number of people that followed the movements and were in the marches, they were nonviolent. And they took people spitting on them. They took dogs put on them, people being hit with bricks and all kinds of things. But they were nonviolent.
Yeah, I worry a little bit, Al, when I think of the George Floyd riots and protests, that lost in that is, and there were some violence to it, and they beat buildings, they burned down a precinct and all that stuff. But lost in that, and I'm speaking for being on the streets most nights, was the civility of most of the protests, and the best part of it to me was the open dialogue and conversation that was being had between folks. And I hope that that's not lost in what happened during the Floyd episode. It was the greatest progress that we made was in the opening of conversation, not in the burning down of buildings. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do understand, but also understand that at the same time the Martin Luther King movement was going on, there was a Stokely Carmichael movement going on too, where people that weren't willing to turn the other cheek.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got both those movements, and you have two types of people following it.
And how did those two coexist? Were they rivals? Were they enemies of? How did they did they work in concert or in contrast all the time? What was that like?
That had to be a very interesting time for Black America, because the followers of Martin Luther King obviously had been working at this for some time with the nonviolence. And the TV, you could see people spitting on kids, people throwing rocks at them, sicking dogs on them. And there's a segment of a Black population that says, oh, no, I can't do that. That's not going to happen to me. I am not going to take that. And that's where the Stokely Carmichael movement started. They just weren't willing to turn the other cheek. But they didn't have the influence, they didn't have the power that the Martin Luther King movement had.
Al Nunes is our guest, so we talk basketball with him. We talk about all kinds of different things. Now, the following question I'm going to ask you really doesn't have a lot of merit. It's almost like a sports question. We say, who is the all-time best quarterback? And then we argue about it, and nobody comes to a conclusion because it's really insignificant because there's so many good quarterbacks out there. Who cares who's the best quarterback, right, to an extent? Martin Luther King, and I don't want to say this as versus Barack Obama because that would mean that they were competing against each other, and obviously they weren't. But in terms of impact and providing hope and motivation, which one resonates more with the young people that you talk to from the African-American community, and why?
Well, you got to understand, it's almost like sports. It's different times, different eras when people were playing different sports. It's the same thing that's true here today. It's a different era. I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind that with young people today, that Barack Obama probably sticks higher with them. They can relate to him a lot more than they can to Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was the movement of my generation. We're the ones that cling to that and understand that. We're the ones that paid the price, that took the lumps, that took the dog bites. Our generation did that. The generation today benefits from that, but they also benefit from someone like Barack Obama, who all of a sudden they can see themselves in a position to be president.
And you really probably can't have Barack without Martin Luther King, right? I mean,
no, you can't.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Hey, can you stay on with us for a quick break?
Sure.
I want to ask you about how it's changed teaching a class like that and being around those young people over the last couple of years here in Minnesota. And I got Al Nunes on. We got to talk some Gopher basketball. He was a Gopher great. Harvey McKay went and recruited him when nobody said they could land Al Nunes. Harvey found a way. I'll ask him about that story, too, when we come back on Sports to the Max. Al Nunes is our guest, former Gopher great and beyond. you don't do it justice if you say he was a former Gopher great, because he's done so much more in this community than just that. Al, take me back, though. As the story goes, as I've heard, as it's been passed down, and we're telling a lot of those right now, they say, we want to go get Al Nunes. And they say, you're never going to get Al Nunes. There's no way you're going to get him to come to Minnesota to play basketball. And they say, send Harvey. What does that mean? Well, that means Harvey McKay is coming out to pay a visit. Explain what happened, because the way that it's told to me is they weren't even on your radar.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is that I had basically verbally committed to Iowa.
Yeah.
And was supposed to be at the Iowa I banquet, and they were going to announce that that I was signing with Iowa. Harvey McKay called the house and wanted to speak to my parents and me, and asked if he said he knew about that, but he wanted to come by and speak to me anyway. So I said, fine. We said, fine. So he did. You know, I'm at the park playing ball, and this limousine pulls up at our house, and Harvey McKay hops out, and, you know, I go home, and we sit down, and it was a good business discussion that rarely people talk about today. He had Life magazine with him, and he talked about opportunity for people of color in the Twin Cities. He talked about business opportunity, and he talked about quality of life. And in a nutshell, when he finished talking about those different ideas and opportunities for people in the Fortune 500 companies in the Twin Cities, he asked me, he said, well, when are you leaving to go back to the I banquet? And my mom said, he's not.
He's not going to any I banquet.
No. My mom said, he's not. And that was the end of that story. So, you know, hey, when mom speaks, mom knows best. So, and it's worked out very well for me, obviously.
Well, you did. I mean, you converted your basketball career into a career. And that's what we talk about in theory all the time. Some take advantage of that, some do not. It's really the bottom line, isn't it, Al? I mean, everybody's got that opportunity, and some choose to take advantage of it, and some do not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, I finished my degree. And the fact that I played in the Twin Cities, people recognized the name, people knew who I was, and it was a lot easier interviewing in an area that you made your career in playing sports than, you know, going somewhere else. Like a lot of my friends that went to Iowa and went to other places and then moved to the Twin Cities, they didn't have that. They weren't as fortunate as I was.
Yep. And I know it's hard for a 17, 18-year-old to be able to see that, but it's there. It's there if you're fortunate enough to get that opportunity. Now Minnesota, having lived here as long as you have, and I look at the Gopher basketball program that ties into you. And Ben Johnson is the new head coach and someone that you know well and we've all known for a long time, you know, going back to his days at De La Salle for most of us. And people talked about a young African-American coach, and I say in Minnesota being that. And I go, you know, Minnesota has probably led the way in African-American coaches from the standpoint that Jimmy Williams by default, but he was the head coach at one point in time, and then it was Clem Haskins and Tubby Smith and now Ben Johnson. Does that say something good to you about Minnesota and the way they view things? Is it just a question of whoever was the most qualified at that time? How does that resonate with you?
Well, you know, that all sounds good, but the real answer to this is that Ben Johnson was qualified, completely qualified for this job. And he happens to be a golden dunker. I mean, not a golden dunker, but he happens to be a graduate of the University of Minnesota. And he happened to have grown up in Minnesota, went to high school here. So the coaches all know him. It's a positive relationship. And the good thing about it, if you watch what has been transpiring there with Ben, he is not only a great coach, but he's a great teacher. You just watch his motions on the floor. He's done a tremendous job. People don't realize how tough a job that is because he lost 10 scholarship athletes. 10. No one in the country lost that many.
He lost a couple more before yesterday's game, too.
Well, exactly. I mean, so you think of it. Look at what has happened. Look at the way they played Michigan State the first time, and then look at the way they played them the second time. Look at the way they started against Wisconsin. Not Wisconsin, but Iowa. Not Iowa.
Well, Iowa yesterday, yeah, they didn't start well, and they came back and made quite a game of it. But they've had several like that.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's you can see the teaching that's happening on the floor. He's done a great job, and he's put together a great staff. And I just want and hope that people are patient and give him the full benefit of being able to recruit his own players in there and get that program back on track. Because one of the things that we've got to remember is that Jim Dutcher and Clem Haskins didn't have a whole lot of five-star athletes. What they did have was the ability to teach up and coach up those players.
This is a really interesting question that we're all coming to grasp with. If you were sitting with Ben and he said, give me a half hour on what you think will take us to the next level, because obviously they've been close in these Big Ten games without winning, and obviously that has to do with personnel, would you favor go get the best high school players you can get, or in this day and age, would Al Nunes say, boy, this transfer portal, especially if you're a Big Ten team and there's all these mid-majors that are serving as junior colleges for you, you know, it's never been as fruitful as it is right now. What would you tell him? How would you advise him to go about building that program now that the transfer portal is a part of it?
Well, I would simply say if in fact we have a quality player within the state of Minnesota, high school player, we have to go after that player. But I would look at a broad recruiting approach. I wouldn't walk away from a junior college player, and I wouldn't walk away from the portal. I think he has to use all of those to get back on track, because people aren't going to give you a long time to build the program back up. So you can't just rebuild the program on simple high school players. You can't. You've got to use that broader approach.
Now you've got a son coaching down in Baylor, the national champions, and they got a brown kid from up here playing for him, and you had Freddie Gillespie, who I had last week, another Eastridge kid, of course, who's got an amazing story. How is Baylor doing it right now? Philosophically, where are they at with it?
I think they're doing the same thing, just what I just said. They're using the portal. They also used junior college. They've had some very success with junior college, and they've also gotten very limited, but they do have a few five-star players. But those kids are built. They build that team with two stars, three stars, four-star players, and they wait their time.
And they've got patience, you're saying, which is unusual in this day.
Yes, they
okay.
buy their time.
Last question for you, Al. As you and I talk, it's an ever-evolving conversation. What has changed in the last couple of years, in other words, since George Floyd, what has changed in the intellect or the understanding that these kids that you mentor, how they feel about themselves and how they feel about where they live because of those riots and what's happened over the last couple of years? How has that 18-year-old, how does he look different today than he did 5 years ago?
That's a real tough question, because COVID has really, really damaged a lot of what
A lot of the conversations you'd like to have with them, right, to find out where they're at.
Yes, that's exactly right. You got to remember, the kids that are sophomores and juniors today in high school have been out of school for 2 years.
It's awful. I have kids that are, and you're going, I want to apologize to them because I can't give them the experience they deserve.
Exactly. They've been out of school. So it's almost like learning all over again. Maxie, we have not had our program at Hopkins in 2 years because we haven't been able. You can't do the kind of program that we were doing with kids online. It doesn't work.
No. I mean, you want them to maybe read some things and whatnot, but the whole idea is the interaction, right?
Right. And them listening to other people and being able to talk to other people.
And you being able to read their body language and wake them up if you don't like what you're seeing.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just been terrible on the kids and the teachers.
Yeah, I hear you. One step at a time, I guess, but it's always good to visit with you, my friend, and get perspectives on all of the above. We could go all night, I know, but I sure appreciate it, especially on this day.
Hey, go Gophers.
You got it. Al Nunes, nice enough to join us. Harvey McKay brings a Life magazine and a limo. Who else could figure out a way to pull a kid away from Iowa?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.